Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up just before 8 o'clock, Gary Lezak will have your forecast. Jamie Bluma will be in studio in the 8 o'clock hour to talk about the Royals as they get back in action after the day off yesterday against Baltimore in Baltimore, with Danny Duffy on the mound going for his first win. And then we'll have some more post-practice sound after Chiefs rookie minicamp wraps up with their final practice yesterday. We'll hear from some more players and maybe a little bit more Andy Reid for you. Right now, we are going to talk to the athletic director at Kansas, Shane Zenger. Shane, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Let's first kind of get into what's going on right now with Kansas and the football program. Obviously, there's been plenty of talk about the plans for renovations to the stadium. Maybe start there and give us an update on where that's at and how things are progressing.
Well, I think the place to start is I begin every morning sitting over in the parking lot watching the caterpillars and the bulldozers go to work as they clear the earth to build what we view to be one of the finest indoor facilities in the country.
Where is the progress, and how soon do you expect to have that indoor facility ready to go and fully operational?
Well, the progress is it's going directly to the west of the press box. So we've gone back into the hill below JRP, the residence hall there that's now the School of Education, and making use of the landscape to kind of fit in and beautify the area as much as we can with this facility and create a donor plaza between what will be the indoor facility and the press box. The indoor facility on game days will be used for donor recreation as well. Once you get started, it goes pretty fast. It's going to take about 6 weeks of earthwork just to get it ready. That tells you how much, how big, you know, Lawrence sits amongst some beautiful hills, and that's part of it. But we anticipate it being done toward the end of November.
And so when you look at the dynamic here and these stadium renovations and the amount of money needed for this, obviously winning can lead to more support and more donations to do what you want to do. But also, you know, stadium renovations and why you're doing this is to help David Beatty and help the program win more football games. But it's kind of a chicken or an egg deal. And so what's more important, the winning to help get the finances you need for the renovations, or the renovations to get the winning started so you could have more support?
Well, chicken or the egg is a phrase I use a lot. And it's, hey, well, with winning, all ships rise, correct? I mean, we all know that. But you look at what happened at Baylor and Oklahoma State when they went through their renovations, and you talk to coaches who were there at the time, and the investment in the program, recruits see that, fans see that. It creates an energy that's not there if you just every year go, I hope you come here and play hard, tape your ankles, we're going to work harder than everybody else. In the year 2018, everybody works hard. And that's something I've had to overcome as an old coach, is thinking you just work harder and outwork everybody. And, you know, there's no secrets in our game anymore. The technology, what coaches have at their disposal with breaking down game tape, et cetera, all those things are equal. You have got to buy in. You've got to buy in at a big level. You know, this reminds me of Coach Self tells the story all the time. You know, we all know he'd been here as a GA with Coach Brown for a year. And when he came back with Cindy, he always says, Cindy and I came back and went through a tour of Ellen Fieldhouse, and we were just aghast that nothing had been done in the years that Bill had been gone. And so, you know, the regime before me renovated Ellen Fieldhouse and built the Anderson Football Complex and upgraded the baseball stadium. And in our time here, this will be our ninth building that we will have built as administration. And I say that for this reason. I didn't even know when I came here, nor did KU fans, because we don't travel around enough, how far behind we were in facilities with all our sports. And why can I talk about it now? Because we've caught up. Those nine facilities, and I'm including the indoor and the new horse volleyball arena, have brought us back to the standard that's necessary in a Power 5 conference.
So, Dr. Zenger, with that, and obviously Rock Chalk Park is a $100 million facility that's put your other Olympic sports or you know, non-revenue sports, however you want to describe them, at a more competitive level. But if football is the driver here and is the thing that costs the most money but also makes the most money for athletic departments, why were all these other facilities built before you were able to get to the football complex?
That's a great question, and I'll answer it two ways. One, that was the university direction. From day one, I got here and wanted to start building the stadium immediately, but there were other projects that were put before me. We had the rules of basketball, and we were told to get that building built. Well, that was a $22 million project. We needed to do apartments for basketball. Because at Kansas, now think about this, at Kansas, the engine that pulls the train and pays the bills is basketball right now. So what you're referencing is the national trend is football, and that's absolutely the case. But we can't ever forget what we have in basketball. We took care of that and gave Coach what he needed to continue that engine moving down the tracks. We're very proud of the fact that we're one of a handful of schools that balances our operational budget every year. That just doesn't happen nationally. And we needed to keep basketball where it needs to be to keep paying those bills while we bring football where it needs to be. So now let's talk about the Olympic sports facilities. You know, it's interesting. People forget, and when you've lived through something, you don't always tell the story of why it happened like it did. What beget the beginning of, and let me back up, Rock Chalk Park, no one's more proud of that than me, and I love the name, but one of the downsides of calling it Rock Chalk Park is we're really talking about a track stadium, a soccer stadium, a softball stadium, and an indoor-outdoor tennis facility that's state-of-the-art. So that's four facilities in what we call Rock Chalk Park. Well, before we could touch the football stadium, we had to get the track out of there. Well, it's one thing to remove a track, but where's your track team going to practice and compete? You got to build a track. Also, we were facing a Title IX review for 20 years that said we needed to upgrade facilities for women's sports. That was something that had to get done, or we were going to get to write a $20 million check the wrong direction.
It's a lot to unpack, and as you said, you've taken care of those issues now to where you can focus on the facilities with the football program, Dr. Zenger. But you also mentioned something in that answer where you talked about balancing the operational budget. I know that the Lawrence Journal World has put out some articles here recently talking about the budget with the athletics department and claiming that that the athletics department has not been able to they're basically running at a deficit right now. What's your response to that article and where does it stand right now financially for the athletic department?
That's an easy and clear response. I ask that, just as you would in any business, compare us to our peers, compare us to Oklahoma, compare us to Texas, compare us to our national peers. There's a report done by the NCAA every year. And in that report, our numbers are amongst the healthiest in the country. Our budget remains anywhere, depending on the year, total revenue and expenses in the top 25 to 30 year in and year out, top three or four in the Big 12. Again, compare us to Oklahoma and Texas. We've kept our debt capacity as low as anyone in the Big 12, and it's not my place to say what others have as debt, but we know where ours stands. And on an operational cash budget, we balance that budget year in and year out. It was balanced years before me. We continue to balance it. We're very proud of that. And I mean this, if you do your research, there's only a couple handfuls of schools that do that year in and year out without institutional support. So what is being talked about is depreciation on facilities that we carry on our ledger. We carry something like $150 million worth of facilities on our ledger that depreciate every year. That's not unlike saying your house depreciates every year. And as your house depreciates, does that affect your savings account or your checking account? The answer is no. In like turn, do you turn around and go, well, because my house is depreciating, I'm not going to paint it, I'm not going to add a bedroom on the back, or I'm not going to fix the plumbing? No. Our savings account and our cash and our checking account are just fine. It is time to address football. We had to do some other things first. I would have liked to have done football first. In the meantime, we took care of the Anderson Football Complex. We took care of the competition field. We took out the track and put in a new one. Last year, we replaced the practice fields. We've done everything we know how to do for those young men in that football program. At the meantime, balancing our budget.
Okay, so I asked you about the importance of winning versus necessary stadium renovations and facilities upgrades. So what do you need to see from the football program this year so that you're comfortable that it's moving in the right direction?
You know, there's no set number, and I know people want a number. There's not an AD in the country that says you got to win 2 or 4 or 6 or 8 or 10. You just that's irresponsible to do that to your coach and your team. But we all know we need to see progress, and with progress comes competing and then winning. You know, there's a saying in gymnastics that first you learn how to train, then you learn how to compete, then you learn how to win. And we all know that. It's time to see some not just competing on the field, but see some winning. How many numbers that is, I don't know.
We're visiting with Kansas Athletics Director Dr. Shane Zenger. And Dr. Zenger, I will come at this question from the standpoint of a lifelong Kansas football fan myself. You and I have talked about this before. I've had multiple family members play football at KU. I care a lot about the program, but I've also lived through enough to know that the history is dotted with little arcs of success, but the success has never been sustained at Kansas for football. And my big I don't know if frustration is the right word. My observation over the years has been when I've gone to these other places, the arms race never stops. The investment for football is incredibly huge at places like Nebraska and Oklahoma and even Missouri nowadays. It seems like every couple of years they're renovating some part of their stadium and they're dropping another $50 million into new suites or new amenities. And I just wonder, do we, and I say we as a Kansas fan base, do we have the appetite for what it really takes to win consistently in football, to be relevant consistently in football? And I'm just curious, now that you've been on the job for a while, what your take is on what our appetite is as a Kansas fan base?
Well, we're finding out, and we're about to find out. And I think that we have taken great pride, and so we have so much going at KU as an institution, our history, our tradition, our legacy. And I'm talking about academically. I'm talking about the beauty of our campus. I'm talking about the everything from the Greek system to the residence life system at KU. It's as good as it gets. And then you turn, and we have one of the elite blue blood basketball programs in the history of the game. And over time, we've had some great success in track and field and other sports. What's happened is all eyes have turned toward football in the last few years. No one could have predicted that 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. But, Nate, it's just flat out obvious. We fell behind many, many, many years ago with that with our stadium. You know, it's the oldest stadium west of the Mississippi. It was built very well by our forefathers. Appreciate what they did. But they built it so well that for decades we didn't do a whole lot to it other than the new press box, which is now we need to upgrade that as well. It's simply time to address the issues. And, you know, I would be derelict in my duty had I not brought it to the surface in my time here and said, folks, this is what we got to do. And we'll find out, and I believe we've got some of the most gracious donors in the country. I get to be with them all the time, and starting with folks like David Booth, who stepped up in a big way. And we have others like him, and I believe they see the value of this.
What was your response to the Independent Commission on College Basketball's recommendations to improve college basketball?
Well, one, I think, putting Secretary Rice in charge of that was genius. She's as strong a leader as we've seen in our time and served well on the CFP committee, which proved she could work in the college athletic arena and function very well. And then they surrounded her with good help, including several athletic directors that are well-respected. So it wasn't like we were without our voice at the table. Now, their findings and recommendations, and I've got the 60-page report on one of my desks here and continue to grind through it. I believe they did great work. They came up with solid findings. And as I've said before, now we really have to go to work and see if we can implement those. Ironically, two of the findings depend greatly on other entities and not the NCAA or member institutions.
So obviously the FBI report that has come out has listed Kansas as a victim and Adidas as the perpetrator. Yet this is a long-term situation that Kansas is working on with Adidas. How would you characterize the relationship with Kansas and Adidas right now?
Well, it's one of those where we continue to work mindfully with them as we go through the process. And we are, the institution and I are watching closely what their response is. Now, when you say that, I don't believe Adidas as an organization was set out to do anything of this nature, but you have some folks within the organization who got off the rails. And I'm not allowed to say much more. What I would continue to point people to in that report is simply that the report goes out of its way to say that others conspired to conceal information from the University of Kansas and that no one at Kansas was aware of or had a part in any of this. And so that's about all I can say about it. But we will continue to work with Adidas to make sure that as an overall organization, they have the right values in place.
My final question for you, Dr. Zenger, we're talking mostly about this budget situation and trying to get all of the renovations to Memorial Stadium and the football complex to where you want to be as you raise this money. And look, you mentioned there's big money donors like David Booth who can maybe write a check for millions of dollars. But for the average fan out there who maybe doesn't have that type of financial wherewithal, but they want to know, like, what can I do to help the situation out? What would your message to those fans be?
I would say, first of all, we will go about this in a manner that is very prudent and responsible. We will never overspend our yearly budget as to what we can afford on this project. And it's going to take us time to go about doing this. We've begun with the indoor. The next step is we believe the south end zone. It could be the west, but we believe the south. We will keep taking bites at this apple that we can afford. For me personally and my staff, we would have loved to start on the south end zone. So the fans have said, wow, look, the stadium is becoming a bowl, blah, 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 blah. Well, that wasn't best for our student athletes. When your football players don't have the facilities everybody else does, then you need to address that first. Hence why we went with the indoor first. So the second part to your question is this. Everyone will have the opportunity to give to this project. Anytime you start in a fundraising initiative, you start with what they call the pyramid scheme. You start with the biggest gifts up top, and you work your way down the pyramid to the point where at some point there will be what we call a paver program. Everyone can give anywhere from $50 to $100, maybe $1,000, $5,000, whatever that may be. It will all add up. Not unlike political campaigns and something that President Obama used in his called the long tail effect.
Yeah, my final question for you. I know that you said that it's not a good idea for Nady to put a number of wins as far as expectations on any program. But look, David Beatty's come on the show a lot, and we've gotten to know him pretty well. And he's a great interview, and he can motivate and get people excited. So for you, outside of actual performance, when you talk about him and what he's doing internally and things that fans maybe don't see, aren't privy to, what would your answer be if someone asked you, why do you believe he's the right guy to get this program headed in the right direction?
Well, when we hired him several years ago, all the folks on the committee and five to seven of those individuals were our best football players ever. And you can figure out me saying that, who that might have been, believed he was the right guy, as did I, that we knew how deep a hole we were in. It was going to take someone with great commitment, passion, energy, grit. And they saw that, and we saw that in Coach Beatty. He hadn't changed one bit. He keeps sawing wood every day, showing up and going at it. The players love him. There's a great relationship there. And any donor or fan that gets around him, he is that guy. So that's the answer I'd give you. Just be around him for a few minutes, and we've got to be committed to somebody. We have a bad history here of changing coaches way too often in the sport of football, while we've had eight coaches in the sport of basketball. There's a direct correlation there.
Well, Dr. Zenger, we certainly appreciate the time. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you to Shane Zenger, the AD at KU, for coming on the show. We'll take a break. Gary Lezak will give you the forecast, and then Jamie Bluma will be in studio after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.